Good morning, United. How you doing? Good. Hey, I've got an opening question for you to think about. What's your favorite store? So I want you to think about what's your favorite store, and then I want you to hear what your favorite stores are. And so does anybody want to start us off and just shout out what your favorite store to go to is? Wegmans. Anybody here like Wegmans? All right. Anybody else? Amazon Online. That's a great shopping experience. I love Amazon Online. Anybody else over here? Target, yeah. Target, Barnes & Nobles. How about over here? Favorite store? Lowe's, TJ Maxx, Burlington Coat Factory. Somebody's Marshall's. All right, so you guys definitely have a favorite store. Has anybody ever here been to GNC, General Nutrition Center? So, yeah, it's like a place like where bodybuilders go to, you know, to get different pills and things that look ripped. You know, you can tell I'd probably, that's my favorite store, right? So I know I look the part there. But they're like, it's like a place where you can go and become a warehouse of muscle, a protein packing ripped storehouse of flesh at the GNC store. And their tagline is called Live Well. And so some of these like pills are actual pills that they sell. So I don't know if you've had any of these pills before, but I found it a little bit interesting thinking of the GNC store, my favorite store, was the coated triple garlic. Anybody ever here try the coated triple garlic before? Imagine having to go to school or work with somebody that had the coated triple garlic. You know, like, oh boy, how could you be in the same room? How about another one is chewable calcium? Anybody ever had tried chewable calcium? Now I think of calcium, I think about milk. And when I think about milk and chewing milk, that does not sound appetizing at all. I'm sure it's not chewable calcium, though. It's not that. How about fish body oils? Has any of you had fish oil? That's definitely popular now, but I'm confused how you get fish oil and put that into your body, but apparently it's very popular now. But how about this one, a fuel injection V12. Has anybody tried the fuel injection V12 pill? Now, I'm not a mechanic, but that sounds like something that you put into your car instead of something that you put into your body. But I guess if you put this in your body, it definitely does something that's going to help you get bigger muscles. And the last one that caught my attention right away was this one, Up Your Gas. Has anybody ever tried the Up Your Gas pills? Nobody wants to admit the Up Your Gas pills. And I know some of you, you don't need the Up My Gas pill, all right? But you know what? I tried a couple of these pills, and I took some time giving them a try, seeing how it helped me to live well, as GNC said, and this is what happened when I took those pills. I'm not sure why you're laughing. If you think this is a make-believe picture, it's from 5 years ago, so it's not a recent picture. I know I've changed a little bit. But the tagline of GNC is live well. Let's get that picture down right now. And every store out there wants us to live well, right? They think that the product that they offer is going to help our lives be better. They think our lives will be fuller if we take their product. And practically every store wants us to integrate their product into our life to help us live a better life. But the question is, are we really, really living better and happier? You see, the generation that we live in, the lifetime we live in, we're probably healthier, richer, better informed than ever. You know, we live longer, we dress warmer, we work less and play more than any other generation in history. But the question is, are we really happier? Are we happier than any other generation that's lived in history? And in the midst of this question, God speaks to us through his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says these words. So if you have these words for you on the screen, it says, I've come so that you may have life in all its fullness. See, Jesus came and he offered true life, full life in all of its fullness. But the misconception that many Christians have about Christianity and many people that aren't Christians have about the Christian faith is that it's like some type of eternal or divine fire insurance policy. Meaning, if you believe the same things that Jesus believes or follow him and his teaching, then you're just going to be saved from a fiery place called hell, and you'll be able to be with him for all eternity in a place on a cloud called heaven. And that's not really appealing to live on a cloud for all of eternity. But those are the conceptions and even the pictures and illustrations and visuals that we might have of Christianity. It's that last day. So if I do this, if I believe this, then I'll get there. But we often don't think about, what about here and now? Because the statement that Jesus made that he offers fullness of life isn't a future tense statement. It's not about like, hey, sometime in eternity, you'll have fullness of life. He's actually talking about right here today. You can have fullness of life because of what he offers to you and what he offers to me. And when he says, I have come to have life and to give life to the full, that's what we're reimagining. So we have this series that we're saying we're reimagining. Because we're reimagining, what does it mean to have fullness of life? Because it's typically not equated with the Christian faith, to be happy and full of life and to be a Christian. But we believe that's true because of who Jesus was and what he taught. Last week, if you were with us, we talked about an all-inclusive culture. As we're reimagining church together, we're a church that wants everybody to belong, no matter where you are, what you've been through, what you've done. You can belong right away by coming to United. You don't have to jump through hoops or do certain things or say certain things or look a certain way to be a part of what's happening here. And we looked at the story that Jesus, in this encounter that this woman had. She was caught in adultery, and she is brought to Jesus by a group of men that are religious leaders of that day and age that want her they're just basically using her as a trap for Jesus because they don't like Jesus. And they're saying, Jesus, what should we do? Because of the law that she broke, which is adultery, it says we should stone her. And if Jesus says, yes, let's go ahead and stone her, then he's showing them that he's not really a compassionate, loving man. But if he says, no, we're not going to stone her, then he's going to disregard the law. And so they've caught him in a trap. And the story goes on to say that what happens is he tells all these gentlemen that are gathered, it's like, all right, well, you can start us off. The first one that has no sin, go ahead and pick up a stone and throw it at her. And with that, he starts to write in the ground. I'm not really sure why he does that. But as he's writing in the ground, all of those men leave, one by one. None of them picks up a stone to throw this woman that's been caught in the act of adultery. And when Jesus stands up, all the men have left. He turns to this woman and says, are any of them here to judge you or to condemn you? And she nods her head, no. And he says, well, neither do I. And we learned last week that Jesus welcomed and included all people. But there was something that I skipped and purposely didn't focus on last week as part of that message. And it's this. Jesus does say, come as you are. He does have that. And at United, we want to be a come as you are church. But there's a comma there. It's not a period. Because Jesus says something to that woman that's very profound. He says, now go and sin no more. And so what does that mean? He's saying, come as you are, but don't stay that way. Because Jesus offers an experience where all people can come, but it's an experience when you encounter Jesus that you won't want to stay the same. And so when this woman encounters such love and grace from Jesus, she doesn't want to stay the same. She experienced that, and she wants to be more like this man that defended her, that came to her defense, that stood up for her, that loved her. She wants to be like that to other people. And so she walks away, and she walks away with a step. Did you ever experience somebody where, and similar to this woman, she experiences Jesus and she would want to be like him, where you, maybe in your career or at school or somebody that you look up to, and you're like, I want to be like that person. I don't know if you've ever encountered somebody like that where you're just like, man, I would love to be as loving and as kind or whatever characteristic it is about that person that you would love to be, and you see it in somebody else. I know that as a kid growing up, we would see this in many different people. As a kid, I loved sports, and my favorite sport was soccer. Any soccer players in the room? Dead silence. Wow. Man. Oh, it is heartbreaking. Well, growing up in this area, loving soccer, what team would you go to watch? Baltimore Blast. That's right. You got it right. All right. It's not DC United. It's Baltimore Blast. And so growing up, I loved going to the Baltimore Blast. And loving sports, I looked up to the players that were on the Baltimore Blast. I had no clue that they made no money. I just thought that, hey, that's really cool. They're playing professional soccer. They get paid for it. I had no clue that they still had to work other jobs in order to play. But I looked up to those guys. And so when I went to a Baltimore Blast game as a kid, I would watch everything that they did. I would watch how they would get dressed and how they would wear their socks and kind of put their sock over their shin guard and put tape around their socks. I would watch, you know, how their mannerisms on the field, or maybe it was a move or a trick that they did, and I would want to try to emulate that as a kid because I looked up to them. In fact, the way I sign my name, Tim, today, the letter T, I sign the letter T the way I do because I got an autograph from a Blast player that I thought the T looked really cool. No joke, I kid you not. And so my T is inspired by a Baltimore Blast player when I signed my name. But I looked up to them. I wanted to be like them. And so because I looked up to them and wanted to be like them, I emulated them. In the same way, when we look up to Jesus and we see the amazing person that he is, we would want to emulate him. We don't want to be the same. And so that starts with a step. See, when Jesus said, go, this woman had to take a step. And one of the things we talk about here at United is, what's your next step? So we're all on a journey in this life, and we're all on a journey of understanding who God is and Jesus and why he came and what that looks like, and all of us have to take some type of step in that journey. And so we encourage one another, what's the next step that God's calling us to take? And there's two things that we believe the Bible teaches about taking a next step that are important for us to take a next step. If you have a Bible with you, you can open up to the book of John. If you borrowed one of the Bibles that we offer in the back, it's page 508. And if you don't have one, we have the verses on the screen for you today. And we're going to look at a metaphor that Jesus used to talk about taking your next step and enjoying life and living life to its fullest as we grow to be more like Jesus and emulate him. And so the metaphor that he uses is one of plants. Does anybody have a green thumb here? Not literally, but you're a good gardener. Any good gardeners here? And just a handful. What color is your thumb if you're not a good gardener? Okay. So whatever color it is, that's the color my thumb is. It's not a green thumb. And so Jesus talks about this illustration here. What are the different things that we need to go by in order to grow? And so what he talks about is this gardening illustration. And he's talking to farmers, people that plant and develop different produce. Now, we just moved into our house, my wife and I. We have 5 kids, and we moved into our home this past January. I'm sorry. And one of the things we wanted to do was to develop a garden. Does anybody here have a garden? Anybody good at developing their garden? Well, for us, we needed help. And our next door neighbor, Sasha, she has a beautiful garden in her backyard. It's a huge garden with great, the zucchini is so big, that's how I had those muscles. The zucchini she gave us, it was literally probably about 20 pounds that she grew in her backyard this past summer. And she gave us one of those, but she helped us. And we had this one little spot in our yard that we're like, this is gonna be the spot where we're gonna grow our garden. And so she told us all the different steps that we needed to do in order to get the soil ready, in order to get the right plants, and to figure out all the different steps of taking care of a garden. So we were ready. We had all the steps in order to take care of the garden. When she came over, we were going to show her this little piece of property that we had in our backyard to build this garden and to grow plants. And when she came over, she's like, no way, this is not going to work. Like, really? It looks beautiful. It looks great. Well, she was looking at the trees that were around it, and it's just completely under shade. So if you know anything about growing plants, you need sunlight. And so we weren't necessarily thinking of that. And so the environment that this garden was in was the wrong environment. And so we needed to move our garden in order for it to be in the right environment. And you see, the same is true for us as people. And this is why Jesus uses this metaphor of making a garden, of planting something. Because as people, we need not only the right habits, but we need the right environments in order to grow. And so these are the two things that Jesus is going to help us to see, is that there's two things that are habits and environments that help us grow. Because as followers of Jesus, we need to develop healthy habits and healthy environments if we want to grow. So if you want to grow and experience the fullness of life, there's healthy habits, but there's also healthy environments to grow. And there's not just a checklist, if I do A, B, and C, I'm going to grow. No, there's certain places for you to be in consistently as well. We talk about that here at United as a growth path. And so there's a path of growth for us. And we use 3 words to summarize this growth path. It's captivate, and activate. And we don't just check these off, hey, I'm going to captivate, cultivate, activate. If I just do these 3 words, I'll be fine. This is an ongoing process for the rest of our life, is to be able to cultivate these areas in our life through habits and environments. And what I want to walk you through is just a quick introduction through this part of the Bible and an illustration that Jesus uses of our growth path. We actually offer this as a class. It's going to be offered in November. And we're going to dig a lot deeper into what Jesus meant and to help us understand these habits and environments better. But I want to give you an overview of it this morning. And so Jesus starts, if you have your Bible open in John 15, by saying this, and we're going to see the growth path illustrated here, where he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. See, Jesus is trying to give a real easy visual for us to see what does it mean to bear fruit. And the visual is of just a garden that doesn't bear fruit and a garden that does bear fruit. So I don't know if your garden has ever looked like this, but this is obviously not the garden that you want to be responsible for. So this would be the garden that I would plant if I had the responsibility of planting a garden. You see, if you're a branch that's not connected to a vine, or the vine that Jesus is saying he is, this is what your spiritual life will look like. So what Jesus says, but if you are connected to him, you will have another image that will look much better than this image. It'll be of a garden that produces fruit that looks great. All of us, now if you wanted to choose your diet for the next week and what you would eat off of, you would probably choose this garden. And Jesus knows this about these farmers and people that he's talking to. He knows that they would want a garden that produces fruit. In the same way, if you want a spiritual vitality in your life, this is the type of garden that you want. So how do you get there? You're connected to Jesus Christ. See, the thing is, we're all connected to something too. It might not be Jesus, it might be other things. And those other things will bear some type of fruit. But Jesus says, apart from me, your branch will not bear fruit that's gonna give spiritual vitality. See, our minds, all we take in every week, in our minds, there's news sources, talk radio shows, different things that we engage in for good or bad things. And there's things that we set our hopes and dreams in, that our hearts set our hopes and dreams in. Maybe it's having this type of home in this neighborhood, or having this type of relationship, or having this type of job with this amount of money. And our thinking and our dreaming can often be a vine that we're feeding off of. I'm really sorry for the distractions. So, yeah, it's Amber Alert. Sorry about that, guys. So, I know you can't avoid that too, so don't feel bad. But you see, we're all connected to a vine. But is Jesus the vine? Because you know, you're here this morning because you probably want in your life some sense of spiritual fruit in your life. You want to be connected to God. That's why you're here in a church on a Sunday morning. And the answer that we see is plain today is that Jesus offers that to you. He offers it to me. And he says this. He says, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Isn't that a pretty clear like connection that Jesus makes? It's like, hey, apart from me, you can't do nothing. It's like, man. Like he shoots straight with us. Apart from Jesus, if you want to connect with God and grow and bear fruit in your life, you just can't do it on your own. Can't do it through being the best person in the world. You could be a great person, but spiritually speaking, you're not going to have any fruit on your tree or your branch if you're not connected to Jesus. And so how do we bear fruit? First, we're captivated. It's that word captivate. We're captivated by who Jesus is, by what he did. And how are we captivated? What's the habit and what's the environment? It's very simple this morning. The habit is to read our Bible. We have copies of Bibles available for you. If you don't have a Bible, it's very easy to get an app on your phone that's an app that has a Bible, and there's various translations that you can choose to make it accessible for you. But reading the Bible makes a difference in our lives. I have a friend that just the beginning of this year, he wasn't reading the Bible at all. But he started to read the Bible on a daily basis. He was a good guy when I met him. He's a great guy. But where he is now as a result of every day reading the Bible is tremendously different in who he is as a Christian and as a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's awesome. It's just as a result of reading the Bible. If you need help today, like where do I start in reading the Bible? Because you just said, where do I start? And we talked about YouVersion Bible app and different Bible reading plans. And he chose a plan that was best for him. And there's spiritual vitality in his life that wasn't there simply because he just picked up a Bible. He read a couple pages a day. It wasn't like he read through the whole thing. It wasn't hard work or cumbersome. He just read a couple pages a day, and it's made a difference in his life. And the environment for captivate, is Sunday morning. You know, just church on Sunday morning. You're already doing this value this morning, this pursuit of Jesus and growth by being here at United Church. And by reading this Bible, section of the Bible together. You're already pursuing this. You know, when I grew up going to church like it was like a mortal sin if you didn't go to church. And so in different church environments, like, you didn't go to church, like, even if you went on vacation, you gotta find a church to go to. And so there was a lot of that in different church cultures that can still exist today. But I think the pendulum has swung today to be like, church, I can watch it online, or I can, you know, listen here or there to a message. And I think the pendulum, and both are unhealthy. I don't think it's, you have to go to church and it's like a sin if you don't. But it's like, we don't want to brush church off either. Because it's a place where we gather with other Jesus-following people to learn and talk about Jesus, to be captivated by him. And it's in that environment that we grow. Because if not, you'll just be like that part of the garden that we were trying to put under shade that wouldn't grow. And this is the environment, not just here at United, but any church, when the pastors open up the Bible and talking about what the Bible teaches. And growth only happens when we move from a life of convenience to a life of consistent captivation. You see, because we can always, convenience looks like, hey, man, I'm sorry, I got sports going on today, I gotta work, you know, and just like work, sports, kids' activities, they all come first. And I'll do church after those things get taken care of. That's convenient, you know, but the reality is when your life falls apart, your boss probably isn't gonna be there for you, but your church family will. You know, when you're a kid, and we have kids that are in our children's environments today, they're learning about Jesus. When they go off to college and they encounter struggles and go through challenges in life, you know, their T-ball coach isn't going to be calling to check in on them. But probably people from their church will be. At United Church, we will be. We'll be checking in. How are you doing? Because there's things that come up in life that keep us from being captivated. And the environment is a church. And so are we thinking about the importance of church in our life? You are this morning because you're here. But the next word that Jesus introduces, and he doesn't introduce this word, but we've given this word to it, is cultivate. You know, as we seek in this growth path to be captivated, another word is cultivate. And this is where we kind of rub shoulders with people a little bit more. So just beyond sitting in seats together on a Sunday morning, it's where we talk and interact with one another. Because Jesus says this about how to abide in his love and how to be connected to him. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Now, if you think about that phrase, if you keep my commandments, like, man, I got to keep all these rules. Well, hold on a second, just read further. It says, this is my commandment. He kind of says what his commandment is. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus summarizes like all the commandments just with one word of love. Love me and love other people. If you do those things, you're gonna take care of all the commandments. Don't worry about all these rules and regulations, but do worry about being a loving person. And so how do we be loving people with one another? You see, at United, we want to be able to create an environment where you can come in a little bit late and leave a little bit early and come anonymously, where you might be at a place where you're like, I'm just checking things out. I'm not really interested in talking with people and sharing my life with people and telling my story. And that's cool. We want United to be a place like that where you can come and just check things out and see where you're at with Jesus. This is a safe place for you to be in. We're not going to make you stand up, do cartwheels, get on stage, or do anything to make you feel awkward or uncomfortable. Just come and check things out. But we do want to encourage you to move from anonymity to being known. Because if you want to grow, you're going to start to get to know people. You're going to start to share your life with other people. And so the habit would be to share your life with other Jesus-following people. Other people that are interested in what does it look like to follow Jesus Christ together. And being around them, not isolating yourself, but being intentional to grow in friendships. So if you went to the after party that we had last week, you know, you going downstairs and sitting and eating a meal with somebody, that's a huge step in that direction of being known and talking with other people. We're offering Discover United next Sunday, where you can learn more about the story of United, how we came to be, and what we're doing here at United Church. And that's going to be a huge step if you're moving from anonymity to being known. We'd love for you to join us there. There's a lot of different steps that you can take to move into being known by other people. But one of the biggest steps would be groups. So the environment here that we offer is groups. If you've checked that off on your Connect card in the past Sundays that you've been here, you've probably received a communication from us saying, hey, we're not starting groups until February. Like, oh, then how can I cultivate, I guess? If you're talking about that's the environment here, how do I cultivate my faith in Jesus with other people? That's where Discover United, our Growth Path class, those are environments where we're going to be getting to know other people in those places. But we're not starting groups until February. And that's a great context. And there are going to be different types of groups. There might be groups that meet in homes, meet at a restaurant or a bar. They might meet and do service projects together. They're going to do different things together, but it's just being around people that are followers of Jesus and trying to live life together. And we might be at different places in our spiritual journey where we feel more or less comfortable talking about where we're at. And we want to create different types of environments for where people are at in their journey with God to enter in and still cultivate at a comfortable level for people. Especially if like an introvert, like group scares me. You know, like if you're an introvert. If you're an extrovert, like, hey, join the party. You want to join like five of them. And we just want to make sure that we're able to help you walk out and live out this growth path of being captivated and cultivating your faith in God. And the last word, activate, is probably the one that I get most excited about. It's where we see here Jesus say, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit will last. See, he uses this whole illustration to say, I want you to bear fruit. I want you to look like the garden that has great fruit and produce growing on it. And it's not only by being connected to me, walking with other people, but then it's doing things on my behalf. It's being activated. I love it when people are activated. And they take their faith and they say, I want to make a difference in this life and have an impact on other people. Whether it's my children, my friends, my coworkers, I want to see other people be brought into this life-giving relationship with Jesus and be activated together, because God has created every single person in this room, you and me, with different gifts and abilities, with different passions, and he wants us to use those to serve him, to make his name great. We sang about that, his great name. And all of us play a part in doing that. And it's a great privilege that we can be a part of if we're activated. You know, I was talking to a friend this week. We started United Church 2 weeks ago, so this is week three. And we get here at 6:30 in the morning. So there's a team of people that get here at 6:30 in the morning, and they're here till like almost 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's a long morning for a group of people. And I was like concerned, like, are you getting tired? How you doing? And he's like, I'm great. This is awesome. This is the best church experience I've ever had before. And I'm just like shocked, really? Like, you're up at 6:30 on a Sunday morning. You're volunteering 6 hours of your time to be here. I just wasn't expecting that answer. And he said, you know what? This is the fullest I've ever been in church. Because he was activated. I'm not promoting United, but I'm promoting giving your life by serving Jesus Christ. And so he was activated and it gave him life. Don't be confused though. He takes a nap on Sunday afternoons because he's tired. But he said, that's living. See, because growth happens when you're like this friend that moves from being a consumer to a contributor. You know, from just consuming goods and service to actually being one of those people that gives goods and services. And we're going to talk about the habit, which is serving others, in another part of this series. But the environment would be a volunteer team. We've actually had people here this morning. We just started 3 weeks ago, and there's people that are already saying, I want to join the team and I want to volunteer. And they were here this morning for a volunteer orientation that we put together to be able to get on the team. We don't want to make it hard that you have to go through these classes or jump through these hoops to be able to join the team here. And you may say, wow, it's only like, I've only been coming for 3 weeks. You got perfect attendance if you've been coming for 3 weeks. You've been coming to United Church for 3 weeks, like you get a badge here. You're like perfect attendance. There are people on the team that even haven't been here 3 weeks. They're out of town for one reason or another reason. It's like, you've been here for 3 weeks, man. We're gonna have you teaching a message next week. So put you up here and celebrate you. But how about like where I'm at with Jesus? You know, I don't even know what I believe about him. That's okay. You join the team. You know, but my life isn't really put together. I gotta work on some things. No, you don't. Jesus had a whole group of people that had to work on some things that followed him. That's gonna be another thing we're gonna talk about in this Reimagined series. So we're all just putting things together in our life. So you think about joining the team, like, is that really me? Yeah, it could be you. It could totally be you. Whether it's here or another church, it should be. You'd be activated in your faith with God. This is a great adventure to follow Jesus together, to experience fullness of life. And Jesus shares this phrase to kind of summarize this illustration where he says, these things I've spoken to you, talking about this illustration of bearing fruit. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, because he wants his joy to be in us, and that your joy may be full. He wants our joy to be full. He wants us to live the best life we can live. And that's when we're connected to him with other people being activated. That's why we talk about the growth path and the different habits and environments that we need to think about in order to produce healthy fruit in our life. So why does this all matter? And here's why this matters for all of us here. Because sin has affected us seriously. Sin has broken us. Sin has hurt us. We've hurt other people as well. So we're not just the victim. And sin's affected us. And because of Jesus, he can put us back together. He can be in the process of restoring us. But you say, well, he lied or she cheated or he stole or I got fired or I have this addiction or my brain chemistry is just not wired the way other people's are and I struggle in this way and I have these desires that aren't going away and you just feel like hopeless in that process. But Jesus says to all of us, no matter where we're at, if you connect to this vine, Jesus Christ, you will bear fruit and your joy will be full. Doesn't mean it'll happen tomorrow. Doesn't mean it'll happen in 3 months. But it means over the course of time, the ongoing process of being captivated, cultivating, and activating the faith of Jesus Christ in our life, we will bear great fruit. And so I want to encourage you, what's your next step with Jesus? We would love for your next step with Jesus to be here at United Church as we journey together. But we would be even more thrilled that you just take a step. Because we are about the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of United. And we want the best for you to follow Jesus Christ and have a life-giving relationship with him. And so all of us are in a different place and all of us need to take a certain step this morning, whether we've known Jesus for 50 years or whether we've just been introduced to him for the last 50 minutes here. What's your next step? Is there a habit or an environment that God would want you to jump into? I would suggest if you've been coming to United, a great next step just to continue the journey is the Discover United that we have next week with the story of United. It will be a great next step to continue to learn and journey all along with us. But maybe it's just something personally, because the habits, if you notice, are personal. It's something that you do. Jesus can't read your Bible for you. I can't do that. I could. I can come over to your house and read the Bible with you, but you probably wouldn't want to listen to my voice much longer. But the environments are places where you got to go be with other people. So what's your next step? And I'm going to pray for you. And I'm just going to close our time as we study this passage together. And I'm going to pray that God would help you take that next step. Because I want, and we at United want, great fruit for you. Great life and fullness of joy for all of you. So let me pray.